Welcome to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau, the show that provides Christian insights into contemporary moral and ethical values and dives deep into how your faith in Jesus changes the way you live your life. Now, here's your host, Mike Sherboneau.
Hey, good evening, everybody. As we enter into this Father's Day weekend, well, we're halfway through, but tomorrow is the big day, and we're going to talk about fathers tonight. And so I want to hear you call in. We want, in the first 10 minutes, just to take a bunch of calls, 30-second calls. I want you to share with me what was one thing your dad did really well. What's one area that you wish that he hadn't? Something you've learned from. Why don't you get on the phone and call in right now? We'd like to hear, we want to take a little poll. What's one thing your dad did well? What's something you're going to change that you'd love to see differently? The numbers are 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. And in Canada, in Niagara and Toronto area, it's 1-800-684-2848. Now, if you're a Raptors fan, we want you to call in, okay? Let's pick up some of those pearls on this Father's Day. It's a great way to pay tribute to your dads. It's also a great way for us to learn together. So we want to hear from you. And get on the phone right now. Just call in right away and let's hear your thoughts on, hey, what's one thing my dad did well? What's one thing that, you know, he could improve on? And that's going to be a big help for all of us tonight as we head into this Father's Day weekend. I'm really delighted that in a couple of minutes, Dr. Grant Mullen is going to be joining us again. Grant was on the program about 2 months ago, and he brings great insights. He's going to be talking to us about some of the ways dads can pull it together, because it is an ominous task. You know, if I could say something tonight, it's that being a man is a challenging proposition in any generation. Someone has said that wise guys are a dime a dozen, but a wise man can be as rare as silver dollars. It starts at a young age when you try to prove your strength as to who is the strongest or the toughest. And as we get older, man, we still try to get bragging rights, don't we? Well, you know, when I was a kid in grade 2, I didn't have to worry about proving who was the strongest. You're thinking, oh, Mike, you're going to say it was you. Well, it wasn't. It was the girl on the back street. I still remember her name, Karen DeHoog, and she beat me up. I was in grade 2. If only I'd heard about martial arts back then, I would have enrolled in, and my self-esteem as a man wouldn't have been impacted. The funny thing about the story was about 18 years later, I ran into Karen again when we were working at the same place for a summer job, and she wanted to go out with me on a date, but you know, once bitten is twice shy. And besides, I was afraid that maybe she could still, you know, whip my pants, you know, take me down. That would have been just way too much. You know, if you are looking for a church, North End Church has just been a fantastic experience for us over at 455 Geneva Street in St. Catharines. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about Father's Day. We got a show and shine, some fancy trucks, cars. We got a huge barbecue. Some guys are going to be sharing in the service that I'm going to bring the message. So I'd love for you to come. It's at 10 o'clock at North End Church. And right now I got our first caller calling in with their thoughts, and let's just check this out right now. Hey, is this Dr. Mullen? All right, we got problems here. There we go. Grant, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, you're our first caller in, so we thought we'd get a few other callers coming in, but you know what? This will give us a chance to bait the hook, and they can call in later. And, you know, we haven't chatted in a little while. Are you keeping well?
Yeah, I was in New Zealand for the last month.
Oh, no wonder. And that's what, did you get me a nice present?
Yeah, it's not much you can fit in a suitcase.
Okay, so you left the kangaroo back in New Zealand, whatever. Okay.
No. Kangaroos are in Australia. They don't like to be mistaken for Australians the same way Canadians don't like to be mistaken for Americans.
You know, as soon as that slipped out of my mouth, I started to wonder if you're going to catch me.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. They don't do well with that comparison or that mistake.
Yeah. Well, you're quick on that stuff. That's why you're a marriage counselor, and you work with all sorts of couples. And because sometimes as guys, we like to slide it by kind of quick, don't we? Just kind of slough it off. Just what's it matter if we miss by a few thousand miles what country we're in?
Well, it's like you probably like to be said, oh, you must be American.
Yeah.
Because you're on American radio. Got to be American.
Well, yeah, it's got to be American, but you know what? Tonight, you can be sure of this. I'm a Raptors fan, and we're pretty excited. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad the game ended. You know that the Raptors won the other night because the next game would have been Sunday. It would have been tomorrow, and I'm not sure
Oh.
people would have been concentrating when I'm preaching. You know, as wonderful as I might think I am, I don't know. I think basketball would be
Also,
on
too, I don't think
everybody's
the
brain.
country, if the tension level would have been so high, the country wouldn't have been able to cope with something that had a tension level that high. I think it would have caused grievous emotional turmoil.
Well, and you're being truthful, aren't you?
Well, to some extent.
Yeah. Now, Grant, not all of our listeners know who you are. Let's just take 30 seconds and then jump into our subject. But you started off as an anesthesiologist in a little town called Grimsby, Ontario. And what happened after that? After you
Well, I
got tired
wanted
of
to put
putting
people
people to
to
sleep?
sleep. That's right. I just felt that was my divine mandate, was to put people to sleep. It was between that or the ministry because they're so similar. And I was also doing general practice at the time because we were in a small hospital. And in my general practice, I had so many people, primarily Christians, because I attracted a Christian population. So many Christians were coming to see me with emotional problems and mental health problems and relationship problems. And I didn't know Christians had these problems because the church I grew up in, every Christian was walking in victory. No one
And
had
we
any
were all
problems at all.
perfect. Yeah,
They
we
were.
must have went
They
to the
were. Once
same
you
church.
become a Christian, you are automatically completely perfect. And we just lived in a culture of denial. Everything was just great. And so I was blown away with all these people coming to see me with these problems. And the big problem was they had no one to turn to that they could trust. And I said, "Why don't you talk to someone in your church?" And they said, "Oh, no, I can't do that because they're all walking in victory and I'm the only one." I kept hearing this, "I'm the only one." And so I thought, well, just sit in my waiting room for 30 minutes and you'll see the rest of your church here with the same problem. But and so they were so ashamed to admit that they were struggling with their mood or their relationships or their walk with God. And so one lady actually said to me, she said, the church, she actually had the courage to say to someone, and they said, "Well, let's read the Bible and pray more." And she didn't know what to read and what to pray. So she actually said to me, she said, "The church doesn't know what to do with me, so I'm stuck with you." And I
Well,
just took a, I
how'd that
just,
hit your
God,
self-esteem?
well, God just put into my heart an interest in trying to help. And so I started to treat mood disorders. And to my absolute astonishment, people started to get better. So God taught me how to use medications for depression, anxiety, and bipolar disorder. And then people started to get better, especially the Christian population. And they started to come from all over North America. And it kind of took over my life. So I gave up anesthesia, gave up general practice, and I just had a mood disorder clinic for about 25 years. And then I started teaching it. So that's what I do now. We travel over. That's why I was in New Zealand. I was doing emotional health and mental health seminars.
Fantastic. And so a lot of this has moved into, you also do a lot on marriage in particular, working with couples
Yeah,
and
well,
your couples
we
conference.
actually do retreats. And so we do personal healing retreats, which we call Discover Joy. And so that's every September in Burlington, Ontario. And then we do two marriage healing events. One is a marriage retreat that we do every November at a resort in the Caribbean. So that's the most fun thing we do. And we also do a
I bet.
marriage re a retreat on a weekend in Niagara Falls every February. So we make opportunity for people to come and walk through this healing journey.
Well, you and I are in dialogue as well because I want to get you to come to North End Church and do a one-off for our congregation and the people here in St. Catharines. So I'll leverage you after the show on that one, okay? But
Sure.
let's so you've got a Discover Joy retreat coming in the early fall to Burlington. And just quickly, what are you going to deal with in that seminar?
Oh, well, at the Discover Joy weekend, we walk people through the three-step healing model. And it's just as simple as this. The Bible says there's three parts to humans, body, soul, and spirit, which then means, and so if you want to be completely mentally and spiritually whole, you need to be healthy mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. So in other words, all three of those parts need to be healthy. So we actually walk people through how to be healthy mentally, how to do a self-assessment of your mental health and what to do about it, how to assess your spiritual health and what to do about it, and then how to assess your emotions, which is all based on your emotional baggage, how to recognize how your emotional baggage forms and how God wants to heal you from it. And if you learn how to address all three parts, you really can be emotionally free, which is the title of my book. It's called Emotionally Free, and the book covers those three parts. So in all of our events, we walk people through those three processes and then lead them in healing prayers. And we just see some really, really encouraging results.
And so they can find out about this at what, Dr. Grant Mullen, what's your website?
DrGrantMullen.com. And so that's where the book Emotionally Free is. Oh, actually, we've got about 20 different videos, and they can learn about our upcoming weekends, because the next one's in September. That's the Personal Healing Weekend in Burlington.
Well, we'll have you on before then, hopefully, and we can talk a lot more about that. But, you know, mm-hmm. as you're unpacking some of those things, you know, I got thinking about some of the things dads try to teach their kids. And this is Father's Day, so let's pick on the dads and encourage them. Are you up for that?
Being a father myself, because, I'm very sensitive to that issue.
Yeah, I had a great dad, not perfect by any means. You know, he tried to help with certain things. We had a handicapped brother, though, and so a lot of times I felt like I was left out of the picture. Just
right.
And he was just simply exhausted trying to keep up with everything and the needs of my brother. That would be one of my regrets. I remember when I hit about 22 or 23, my dad had been a military guy, and so the word love wasn't a big one. But somewhere I knew that we needed to start to say that, and so I started to say, Dad, I just want you to know that I love you. And he started to reciprocate with that. And I noticed that the older we both got, the closer and longer our hugs became. And
That's nice.
A real interesting bonding for two guys. And he really became a close friend to me. But that was hard. Maybe that was something that I'd been learning, and I was able to crack him out of the mold. But so many things he taught me. But I'm also aware that there's so many things, just like what you're talking about in this Discover Joy thing, that frankly, most of us, and let's pick on the guys tonight, we're at a loss to know, how do we begin this? So what do you see are some of the common problems that surface from your counseling practice with men? What are some of the ways that we've blown it? So because I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to keep interrupting you. We want to get some feedback. And let me just say this before you start, Grant, if you want to call in with a question or to share, as I said earlier in the beginning, something your dad did really well, that number in the Buffalo area is 883-5000. And in the greater Toronto, Niagara area, it's 1-800-684-2888. 1-800-684-2848. We're going to go for the next couple minutes. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to do a long run with Grant as well. So Grant, jump in. What are some of the big issues that you see over and over again with dads?
Well, actually, father issues are some of the most important emotional baggage issues that people carry. Actually, it's one of the most common and most serious. And that's because your father's voice is actually the most, other than God, it is the most important voice in your life, because God has designated fathers as the spiritual head of the home. And because God's our father, he's assigned that incredibly important role to fathers. And actually, the father's voice is the most critical voice in shaping our personalities.
Because what about women? Okay, you got to answer the question then. So how come, what about women? Is there a voice not important?
The mothering thing was so important. Women have a more nurturing role. So actually the way we describe it is this. Up until puberty, the mother has the primary voice into a person's life because they're the nurturers. But after puberty, it's the father's voice that is the most important to prepare the teenager to enter adulthood. So that the teenager needs to hear the primary roles of father in adolescence, the teenager needs to hear that the teenager has the father's unconditional love. In other words, they don't have to earn it. And the teenager needs to hear from the father that he approves and affirms them and says, you have what it takes to be a successful adult. And that's how we launch people successfully into adulthood. But the problem is, hardly anyone does that because no one teaches fathering. No one teaches fathering.
Okay, so talk to me about that, and how do I let my kid know that I'm affirming them?
Oh, well, the first thing is they need to hear unconditional love from the father. That is the first thing. They need to know that they are can be assured of the love of their father, and it doesn't depend on their grades or their sporting achievement or their appearance, that they doesn't matter what they do, they belong in the family, and they can get the father's 100% attention, which is the problem that you had mentioned. And then and the father is just always affirming their good qualities and growing them. So that's what the fathers, you know, so in other words, fathers need to talk.
Hey, did you hear the news last night?
And
there's an interesting thing happened on the news. There was a girl 2 weeks ago, she's recovering from a shark attack in the Carolinas, and her dad jumped in the water to rescue the girl. Is about 17, and he's literally pounding the shark with his fist. And it, you know, finally let go. The girl's going to lose her leg. When they talked to the father, they said, what was going on? And he said, as I was fighting for my daughter, he said, I've never in such a short time told my daughter how much I love her over and over again. And when you said that, I caught that on CTV last night on the news. A very interesting comment.
Actually, the child needs to know that the father would give his life for them. And see, this is just so rare because no one teaches how to father, and we only parent based on the model that we were raised in. So we just replicate the way our fathers treated us until someone tells us differently. And so we just perpetuate these patterns, and then since a very high percentage of homes, the father's not even there. So the kids are not going to get all these things I just listed.
Okay, so how do we resolve that? I mean, I can feel a ton of guilt if I'm a dad right now. And I just went out for Father's Day this afternoon down near your area. My daughter took me to this incredible rib place. I hope I don't fall asleep while we're doing the show. But what intrigued me was, there was a single dad came in with looked like his brother and his parents and a little girl. And he just seemed to be at a loss knowing how to handle it. And I wondered if he, you know, that's a hard place to go. And I'm not bashing anyone who's a single parent right now. It is a hard job. I've worked with single adults for years. And we get in those places because we don't know how to love properly, we don't know how to talk properly?
Well, I have a few examples, really successful examples, of situations where the parents have split, but the father is still visiting and the father's still in the picture. And there's one father I know, and he knows these things that I just told you. And so whenever he's with the girls, he just pours into them affirmation and all these things I just said. He makes the most of their visits so that they know that they have his 100% attention when he's with them. They have his unconditional love, and he keeps telling them they have what it takes. So even though he's not at home, but he sure makes the most of his visits. And so I just take my hat off to him because those girls really feel valued and special.
Those are
now,
pretty important words.
The problem is if the father just is not present at all, and then the mother is going to do the best she can to do all those things I just listed. I mean, the mother can do that, and it's going to be very, very helpful. It's just not as good as it could be. But, you know, even Jesus, I mean, he was a man. He was a human. Even he had to hear the voice of his father affirming him and blessing him and then launching him into adulthood. And that happened at his baptism.
That's true. Powerful words. It said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah. And it was right after that he starts his public ministry.
Okay, so let's dumb it down for me.
The voice of the father affirmed him and launched him.
Grant, dumb it down for me. And so what are some practical things that I can do to affirm my children? Let's do it for all our listeners right now.
Yeah, let's start there. But then we should talk about adults who just didn't get it from their father. What do they do now? Because it's not hopeless.
Well, they don't know how.
What to do is, it doesn't matter how old your children are. I mean, you know, even if they have their own kids themselves, it's never too late to tell them you love them, to tell them how proud you are of them. You know, just find anything. You're just so proud of them that they're your kids. And that they need to know that you love them regardless. And if you're estranged, because there's so many where the actually it's Father's Day that the people become really sensitive to how bad the relationship is with the father. If the ultimate is for the estranged father to actually apologize and ask for forgiveness if they were the ones who caused the offense.
You said something a minute ago. You said you need to tell your children that you love them, you're proud of them, and you love them regardless.
It's unconditional.
Unconditional. Okay, so how explain unconditional. Let's say you got a son or daughter that's an addict or involved in a mm-hmm. lifestyle that is self-destructive mm-hmm. and you don't agree with it. How do you love then?
Yes, well, that's a really good question because the addict, anyone who has those kinds of problems, they feel overwhelming shame. Shame just covers them. They walk in it. In fact, that keeps perpetuating their use is because they're in such emotional pain as well as the addiction. And so they feel like they're such a loser to society and an embarrassment to their family.
Okay.
And so
you know what, Grant?
Why?
No, go ahead. That? Finish that thought.
Oh, yeah. So if it's possible, if the father, well, and mother, of course, if the father can say something, look, I know you're struggling, but I love you anyway, and how can I help? And you mean everything to your mother and I and to God, and God has not written you off, and we haven't either. That kind of
thing. Okay, we're going to pause. We're going to pause right there. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Dr. Grant Mullen. We look forward to hearing more from Grant and also for your calls. We'll be right back.
Urban Christian Ministries is pleased to announce that once again we will be investing in the youth of Greater Buffalo through an amazing summer project called Block Club Basketball. Block Club Basketball is strengthening communities by investing in young men. And this summer, our theme for all of our participants is Choose Life. BCB is about youth violence prevention and empowering young men, block clubs, and entire communities. It's a fact that crime fades when BCB appears. The gospel is presented at every game. So how can you get involved? BCB is for young men ages 13 to 18 who live in the city of Buffalo with an established block club. We would love for you to help us this summer reach the youth of Buffalo. Will you pray for us, serve with us, and be a financial partner as we raise $50,000 to cover this summer ministry program that will change lives in our inner city? For more information, go to our website, ucmbuffalo.org, or follow us on Facebook, or visit us at 967 Jefferson Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202.
Since 1940, Elam Lodge has been a destination for people who are looking to relax, be refreshed and renewed in body, mind, and spirit. You can find us nestled on a peninsula with 70 acres. Throughout the summer, we offer 8 weeks of conferences with Bible teaching both morning and evening, complemented by an amazing children's and youth program, as well as lots of age-appropriate events and activities throughout the day. 2 heated pools, 2 beaches, a lake full of fish, beach volleyball, tennis, canoes, and kayaks are just some of what there is to enjoy during a personal retreat, a couple's getaway, or a family reunion. Buffet meals are served each day at the lakeside. We invite you to become a part of our Elam Lodge family for a weekend, a week, or even settle in by parking your trailer at a seasonal site for full summer experiences. Look for more information at elimelodge.com or call 800-420-6287. For a 5% discount, mention you heard about Elam Lodge on WDCX. Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And again, tonight, helping me with this Father's Day subject is Dr. Grant Mullen. Grant, you still with us?
I am.
Awesome. And I kind of interrupted you, but you know what, Grant? You have you're like a machine gun, man. You can just fire this stuff right out. You've seen it over and over again. Does anything surprise you anymore?
But remember, we teach this all over the world. So that's why this is a very familiar topic. And it's such an important one.
It is.
Oh, actually, here's another tip, because I'm full of them, is that if you're working with young men, who are fatherless, and there's nobody speaking these things into their life, because this is very, very common, then any sort of parenting kind of figure. So if you're a youth worker, let's say, that you can affirm young men and young women, of course, but you can affirm young men, and you can say, you can help them, you have what it takes, and I love you, but God loves you unconditionally, because you want to point them to the unconditional love of God the Father if they don't get it from their natural father.
Yeah, that phrase unconditional is interesting, because you corrected me before the break that, you know, to say you love your kids regardless, but actually it was you love your kids unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. And you love them because they're yours, and that's how God feels about us.
So let's take a rabbit's trail for a little bit. We'll jump back to some parenting techniques, you know, 25 years ago that carried over, where if you screwed up as a kid, you did something contrary, you got grounded, maybe you got kicked out of the home. It would appear, whether it's true or not, that parents are very fearful to exercise that kind of discipline, such stringent discipline. Any thoughts on that?
Well, kicking your child out of the home because of rule violations and boundary violations, that is very, very painful. Sometimes it has to happen. But I deal with a lot of people who come from extremely dysfunctional homes, and they have these huge, empty, gaping wounds because they did not get the nurturing from their mother, they never had a father to speak all these wonderful things into them that I just listed. So you know what we do for them is we introduce them to God the Father. And so because they need to be what we call reparented. And the most wonderful thing that we discovered is God can't wait to reparent us and to be the parent we never had. God can't wait to actually speak those things into our life that we miss from our parents. Like, because he loves us unconditionally. He thinks we have what it takes, and he wants to help us actually get there. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can always be reparented.
That's a very intriguing term that you're using, learning how to be reparented yourself so that you can parent others. A lot of times, when we're younger, we think, oh, if ever I have kids, I'm never going to do what my old man did. I'll never come up with these lines. And then suddenly we have children, and boom.
Revert back to our old patterns.
Yep. So easy to do that. Okay. So what else do you see as one of the biggest challenges that men are having with parenting? So a poor role model. What's society teaching guys right now that we need to be on guard against?
Well, the key to being a good parent is it's actually your relationship with God. Because if you still have these gaping father wounds, it's going to be very hard to parent, because you're drawing out of an empty well. And so that's why our top priority is, how can we connect the either the prospective parent or the new adult or just the adult, how can we connect them to the loving heart of God the Father, who can actually heal the wounds from the dysfunctional family of origin and fill the heart, so then they have something to draw from, or that they can give out of the overflow. Because if you had a dysfunctional father, you will assume that God the Father is just as dysfunctional and unreliable as your natural father. So we have to teach people that God is not like your natural father. So that is the first hurdle. And then if they can get their hearts healed, that will revolutionize the way they parent their children, because they'll have an overflow of love.
So, Grant, I'm going to make an assumption that they didn't teach you all this information at med school. How did you,
I learned nothing at med school about psychiatry, the heart. In fact, I had to have a personality extraction to graduate. So when I graduated, I had no personality. I was emotionally dead. Okay, so I learned all of this through what God showed me.
So did you ever have challenges as a father yourself with parenting? Were there some of these things that you said, oh man, I got to own this?
Well, I had a very loving father, and who wasn't perfect, but I had an advantage. I was raised in a two-parent home, and then my wife, she always would correct me in time because she came from a two-parent home. So between the two of us, we sort of muddled through. But actually, I taught the kids, that my kids, to please forgive us for all the ways we messed them up.
I won't be picking on you so much, but in general, like, if I've messed up and screwed up and there's problems in the home, is it enough to just say I'm sorry? Or do I have to go steps further? Like, talk to me about the reparenting. Talk to me about how do I restore relationships with my kids?
Well, that's a very big subject, really, that means they need a counselor to help with that. But the first step is...
But I'll give you 10 minutes.
Apologize.
I'll give you 10 minutes on the show.
Well, no, actually, I'll have to go.
That's right, you do.
You start by apologizing for what you did, and even more important is how I made you feel. I'm sorry for what I did and how I made you feel. And even more so, if you list a description of, I know it made you feel this, that really lands on a child because they'll say, I'm stunned, I'm shocked. And that's the first step in reestablishing a relationship.
Grant,
so many people feel this is overwhelmingly difficult, but God can't wait to help us with this and to fill that empty hole. That's the exciting good news.
That is good news for you to leave us with. So just once again, you have a Discover Joy seminar coming up this September in Burlington.
Yep. September, yep. And then our next marriage retreat at a resort in the Caribbean is in November. And all the information is on our website, and my book explains all this stuff in detail.
And the website is Dr. Grant Mullen.
DrGrantMullen.com.
Grant, as always, a privilege to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to call in
this Father's Day weekend. Again, I hope we make Father's Day better for people.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Dr. Grant Mullen. This is an open mic with Mike Sherbino. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Since 1940, Elam Lodge has been a destination for people who are looking to relax, be refreshed and renewed in body, mind, and spirit. You can find us nestled on a peninsula with 70 acres. Throughout the summer, we offer 8 weeks of conferences with Bible teaching both morning and evening, complemented by an amazing children's and youth program, as well as lots of age-appropriate events and activities throughout the day. 2 heated pools, 2 beaches, a lake full of fish, beach volleyball, tennis, canoes, and kayaks are just some of what there is to enjoy during a personal retreat, a couple's getaway, or a family reunion. Buffet meals are served each day at the lakeside. We invite you to become a part of our Elam Lodge family for a weekend, a week, or even settle in by parking your trailer at a seasonal site for full summer experiences. Look for more information at elimlodge.com or call 800-420-6287. For a 5% discount, mention you heard about Elam Lodge on WDCX.
Urban Christian Ministries is pleased to announce that once again we will be investing in the youth of Greater Buffalo through an amazing summer project called Block Club Basketball. Block Club Basketball is strengthening communities by investing in young men. And this summer, our theme for all of our participants is Choose Life. BCB is about youth violence prevention and empowering young men, block clubs, and entire communities. It's a fact that crime fades when BCB appears. The gospel is presented at every game. So how can you get involved? BCB is for young men ages 13 to 18 who live in the city of Buffalo with an established block club. We would love for you to help us this summer reach the youth of Buffalo. Will you pray for us, serve with us, and be a financial partner as we raise $50,000 to cover this summer ministry program that will change lives in our inner city? For more information, go to our website, ucmbuffalo.org, or follow us on Facebook, or visit us at 967 Jefferson Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherbino. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, everybody. We're glad you're with us tonight on this Father's Day weekend. We'd love to hear from you. Remember we said right at the beginning, but Grant called in first, and we just ran with him for a while. But I'd love to hear from you. You've had an experience with your dad. What's one thing your dad did well? What's something that you wish that he could have changed and done differently. We're not here to trash dads. We want to build them up. But I'm convinced as we share these stories, we're going to we'll hear a little bit. So call in right now, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. And in the greater Niagara and Toronto area, it's 1-800-684-2848. And if you don't have any plans for Father's Day tomorrow morning, why don't you join us at North End Church, 455 Geneva Street. I'm going to be sharing from God's Word. We're going to talk about Father's Day. It's going to be a fun morning. Just some really kind of cool things we're going to have. We have afterwards, we have a barbecue, we have a show and shine. So if you got a fancy car, motorcycle, we got one guy bringing three chromed out tractor trailers, you know, that drive those big transports. Some pretty awesome stuff we're going to be able to enjoy. Just kind of the guy thing. But even deeper is where we want to go is with what Grant was talking about as we explore what's this whole thing about reparenting? What are the things that we need to do to heal the emotional scars? Because a lot of times stuff was done to us. Stuff happened. And how do we recover from it? And oftentimes as guys, we repress it. We keep it in as opposed to giving it out. Do you struggle with that? I want to hear from you. 883-5000, 1-800-684-2848. Come on, get on the lines. Call in right now. We'd love to hear from you. We want to just have a real good dialogue. Even if you got a comment about the Raptors game, who'd you watch it with? Who did you hang out with? Because as guys, even how we do those things, a lot of times gives a glimpse into how we get along with people. Only sometimes with certain people, maybe it's with our wife, do we really have other friends? And as we want our kids to learn from us on this Father's Day weekend, healthy decisions that our children make are more often than not going to be modeled by us. And kids, what they catch from us is oftentimes more significant than what we can even say, because actions do speak louder than words. And speaking of words, I want you to realize that at different times we've all experienced the power of someone's words. And if there's one thing that can set the climate in a home, it's the words that are spoken. It's been said that nothing can influence a child or teen more than your words. And nothing can give hope to a marriage more than the words that are spoken. How well I remember something that happened to me years ago when I was a teenager. I answered the phone with a negative abruptness in my voice. I was tired, cranky, and took it out on the person who was calling. Unfortunately for me, it was the neighbor down the street, and doubly unfortunate for me was the fact that my mother overheard me. Now, I didn't swear or yell, but the tone of my voice could have cut ice. The punishment now seems mild, but then it was corrective, and I thought, man, I was going to have a heart attack. She made me call back and apologize. And as a 14-year-old, I thought the world was about to drop through my stomach. Lesson learned. And I've since learned that our tongues can be an instrument that invites people to live or die. I find it hard to forget the person who committed suicide. All they found explaining the death was a note which said two words. You know what the two words were? It said, "They said." Now, what was it that someone said that caused that person to despair of life? What did they ever communicate? And as a pastor and a counselor, I've heard too many people who've almost died emotionally because of someone's words. And guys, you need to know that your tongue and mine is the key to healthy relationships. Your tongue can be a paintbrush, which brings encouraging colors to a house. Your tongue can also be a paintbrush that brings darkness and discouragement into others' lives. Because here's the deal. With your tongue, you can give hope or you can give heck. With your tongue, you can give direction or you can devastate people. And with your tongue, you can offer friendship or create fear. With your tongue, you can build up or bust the bubble. And with your tongue, ready, you can give people heaven or you can give them hell. And as a preacher, I'm no exception. But I've learned this. If you don't mind what you say, you might say whatever comes to mind. And one of the things that is top on my list as I go into this next season of my life is to be so conscious that I want to speak words that give life to people. I want to give life-giving words to my kids, my adult kids, my grandchildren. I also want to give life-giving words to the people that I work with and that I work around. And it is easy when you're tired or cranky. You can just walk in and walk down the hall to your office and close the door. Or you can pause and you can just, you can lift someone's spirit. You know, a cheery phrase, a hello. And don't fall in the trap that, oh, I'm an introvert, so it's okay. No, it's not. We all have the opportunity to speak life. And as my college prof years ago, Glenn Taylor said, your words invite people to live or to die. Hey, now we'd love to hear from you tonight. And maybe everybody's just busy, just sitting at their father's foot tonight, their feet, and just saying, hey, we're just chilling out. But hey, for you to call in, your words could help give life and perspective. What's one thing your dad did that you loved? What's one thing that you wish he could have done differently? And let me just talk about my dad. He passed away about 9 years ago. On this Father's Day weekend, I'm reminded of my dad that he set an incredible example. I mentioned that I had a handicapped brother, and it was hard. He would take him to a special school, and it meant in the morning driving back 20 miles to the house to pick him up, to take him back to the school. There wasn't a bus where we were, and the system wasn't the way that it is now. But he just pushed himself to care for all of us. But regardless of how busy his day was, he got up in the morning and he took time to talk to his maker, to his creator, to his God. And I remember watching my dad read his Bible and taking time to pray early in the morning. And then before he would leave, he took a few minutes to teach each of us and to pray for us. What a powerful impression. And there were things that, you know, he just didn't have time to do everything else. But that was something that he gave to me. And as much as I wish he could have been at more of my sporting events and things like that, my dad gave me something. He gave me a spiritual legacy. And I get it now that I'm older. You know, there's only 24 hours in a day. He can only do so much. But he gave me something that I am forever grateful for. And fathers, as you're listening tonight, it is not too late to start to give your children a spiritual heritage. You say, how do I do that? Well, I think as Grant said, there's a couple ways. First of all, is to be very intentional in loving your kids. Let them know that you're proud of them and that you love them unconditionally. It doesn't mean that you necessarily support everything they do or agree with everything they do, especially when they're adults, but that you still love them unconditionally. And, you know, there are many ways to do that. What I have learned is from reading a book years ago called The Five Love Languages, and you've probably heard about that. And interestingly, I have five daughters, my wife and I together. We have these five daughters. And as a result, we've had to learn to speak their individual love language so that I can speak into their life in a way that they know that I love them, because all of them are different. So I've had to learn that. Say what works for one doesn't work for the other. And right now we got a caller calling in, and so that's good. Let's just take this call right now, and then I'm going to go back and continue to teach on that. So, hey, is this Carly?
This is.
Carly, what's your comments today on this Father's Day?
Well, I just wanted to do a shout out to my dad.
Okay. What's special about him?
Well, apart from the fact that he's your dad. My dad is an incredibly kind, honest, funny, and loving man. And the best way that I could explain it is that, unfortunately, my aunt and his sister just passed away this last weekend. And it's been really hard for all of us. But I tend to be like my mom. I tend to try to be strong for everybody. I tend to make sure everyone else is okay. But my mom ratted me out to my dad, and he came up to me, and he's been doing so well with, like, allowing himself to feel his emotions and cry and let everything out. And he gave me a big hug, and he's like, if I'm not allowed to hold it all in, neither are you. And he gave me a big hug and let me cry and just held me. And I think that's a good description of who my dad is.
That's pretty cool. So even in his pain, he was sensitive to your pain.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Carly, if I could borrow from what you just shared, one of the things for dads that would help them so much is just to be brutally honest. Because as kids, we can read our parents' emotions, can't we? A lot of times they think they're fooling us, but they're not. We know they're struggling, and just being honest like your dad was is, that's an important gift. But how cool that you'd want to say that about him tonight. And anything else you want to add, or is that it?
I mean, there's a million other things I could say about him, but I will hang up so we can hear more about other incredible men and incredible fathers out there.
Okay. Well, thanks, Carly, for your call again. And just before we go to the next break, let's just do a shout out to our dads. So get on the phone. We got 15 minutes. We want to take your comments. So, something that your dad did well. Time to brag like Carly did. Get on the phone, 1-800-684-2848. Let me tell you this. If my dad was alive right now, I'd be calling in just so that he could hear it. And I received a letter this week from one of my daughters. Another one took me out for a supper tonight. And I got a letter that I'm going to open tomorrow from another daughter. And I'm sure I'm going to cry when I read it, but I want to read it because they affirm me. They picked me up. And man, what a great chance. Call in right now and at 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848. And we'll take those calls right after this short 2-minute break.
Urban Christian Ministries is pleased to announce that once again we will be investing in the youth of Greater Buffalo through an amazing summer project called Block Club Basketball. Block Club Basketball is strengthening communities by investing in young men. And this summer, our theme for all of our participants is Choose Life. BCB is about youth violence prevention and empowering young men, block clubs, and entire communities. It's a fact that crime fades when BCB appears. The gospel is presented at every game. So how can you get involved? BCB is for young men ages 13 to 18 who live in the city of Buffalo with an established block club. We would love for you to help us this summer reach the youth of Buffalo. Will you pray for us, serve with us, and be a financial partner as we raise $50,000 to cover this summer ministry program that will change lives in our inner city? For more information, go to our website, ucmbuffalo.org, or follow us on Facebook, or visit us at 967 Jefferson Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202.
Since 1940, Elam Lodge has been a destination for people who are looking to relax, be refreshed and renewed in body, mind, and spirit. You can find us nestled on a peninsula with 70 acres. Throughout the summer, we offer 8 weeks of conferences with Bible teaching both morning and evening, complemented by an amazing children's and youth program, as well as lots of age-appropriate events and activities throughout the day. 2 heated pools, 2 beaches, a lake full of fish, beach volleyball, tennis, canoes, and kayaks are just some of what there is to enjoy during a personal retreat, a couple's getaway, or a family reunion. Buffet meals are served each day at the lakeside. We invite you to become a part of our Elam Lodge family for a weekend, a week, or even settle in by parking your trailer at a seasonal site for full summer experiences. Look for more information at elimlodge.com or call 800-420-6287. For a 5% discount, mention you heard about Elam Lodge on WDCX. Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, so we hope you call in the last 15 minutes. And I'm not one to put a guilt trip on people, but what gives? What gives with you people tonight? Does nobody like their dad? Does nobody want to call and say, hey, here's something good that my dad's doing? I know we got probably 25 to 40,000 listeners tonight. So like, hello, all you Raptor fans were going nuts, you know, screaming and yelling. Let's give up a couple for our dads. What's something that your dad has done well? I know we all screw up, we mess up, but you know, what's one thing your dad's done well? Good chance for a shout out on that tonight. Or maybe something that you wish your dad could change. And that number is 1-800-684-2848. That's the magic number, 684-2848. We'll hope to get a couple of you right away. And you know, as I think about my dad, he did what he could, and I am grateful for that. I suppose that if we were to do it all over again, what would I say to my dad? Because we all have needs. Sometimes as dads, we get locked into a way of thinking. And, you know, we've always done it this way. And he was navigating a lot of huge challenges in his own life. Had five kids, and especially my brother, who had took a lot of time because he was handicapped, and just a lot of physical and mental challenges that he had. But as my dad navigated through all of that, I can look at that and I can begrudge the fact that I didn't have a lot of time with him, or I can see what I learned from him. And one of the things my dad taught me was patience. Patience is so important. And you don't have to lose your temper. I mean, you can have feelings and emotions, but you don't have to barf it all out on the table. You know, as I think about parenting, as I think about being an adult parent, I want to wrap up these last 10, 12 minutes tonight with looking at a verse in the scripture that helps us as fathers. But it's also, it can be a challenge to us. We say, how do we measure up? And it's what Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, he said, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, when someone is drowning, it would be inappropriate to go to them and say, excuse me, I was taking a pull and wondered if you'd like some help. Actually, a drowning person is very frightened and disoriented, and they don't care about you, and they'll pull you under, actually, if you don't watch out for them. What is needed is a quick reversal. That's where you come to them from the rear, if you're the safety, the lifesaver, and you pull them to safety without asking their permission. And children who are not raised with standards, guidelines, and clearly defined expectations will be much like someone who is drowning. And I think that should help us have a higher sense of tolerance for people that act up and younger people that act up, because likely there have been no healthy guidelines laid down. And that's why we need to start with some guidelines in God's Word. So dads, you know what? Do your kids a favor. Set some guidelines. Set some boundaries in place that are realistic. Solomon says, train up your child. And that word carries two meanings. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But we've got Natalie on the line, and she's calling in right now. So let's talk to her. She wants to talk about her dad, I think. Hey, Natalie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
All right, Natalie, what do you want to say on Father's Day?
My father is actually deceased. I lost him when I was 19, but I was very blessed to have him. And I heard what you were saying, and I know a lot of other daughters who have a difficult relationship with their father. But I would like to share what my father shared with me. He always told me that I could be whatever I wanted to be, and he raised me to be a very independent, strong woman who is mindful of all people, not just men lurking for women, but also people with negative intentions, but to remember to rely on your inner strength. He was very patient. He was friends with everyone in our neighborhood, which is not very common. He was just, he was always able to brush things off, and I think we all should remember that. Just when things aren't going our way, just remember it is what it is, and we just have to keep our heads held up high. He always told me, focus on yourself and keep your head held high. And I tell my students that every day, and they take that to heart just like I do, and I feel like it does help.
Wow, that's, thank you. Those are good words. Sounds like he was an amazing man. And not down on a downer or not, if you could have gone back to do the time over again, what would be one thing that you would have wished your dad could have focused on a little more? Help us guys out here.
I'm not going to lie. He trusted me very much to make my own decisions, but my mom was much more on my case and didn't let me. But I wish he grilled my boyfriend's mom. I wish he interviewed them and instead of letting me learn from mistakes a little. I know that's kind of like cheating, but it's nice to have that support.
Okay, well, I appreciate you sharing that tonight. Natalie, thanks for the call. And I hope you call back
you
in
so
again.
Much. Happy holidays right. to all the fathers and best to everyone.
Thank you. Thanks so much. All right. Well, appreciate that call. Again, the number is 800-684-2848. We'd love to hear from you. And as we're waiting for you to call in tonight, let me just pick up on the teaching, because Proverbs Solomon says, train up your child. And that has two meanings. Here's the first one. The first thought is that of breaking and bringing a wild horse into submission. Not too pretty, but hey, we've all been in the restaurant. We've heard some kid just going off or going wonky, and we think, wow, what do we do? Well, Solomon talked about that. And if you think about bringing a wild horse into submission, sometimes our kids will be like a wild horse. And a lot of times it starts with parents allowing their kids to have free expression. You know, at the age of three, little Johnny is lying on the floor in the supermarket screaming and kicking. And do you know what he's saying? He's pleading with you gently to discipline him, to bring him in, to say, this is not acceptable. He's also saying, pick me up and take me home. I saw that happen a little while ago in the store where the kid was just a little terror. And finally, the mother just picked them up and took them out. And you know what happened? I followed that scenario because I knew the mother, and it was the best thing that that little child needed. They took her home, and that little girl had a time out for a while, and she realized that she had missed out on something pretty important. But that was a huge amount of energy for that young mother to do that. And the other picture of train up the child is not just of bringing a wild horse into submission, but it's a nicer picture of a mother who teaches her baby to develop a thirst. It's like a newborn baby who's learning to feed from the mother's breast. And often a baby will not nurse, and in the first few days, they have to be taught how to suckle. And this is the word that Solomon is using. And what he's saying is that as a parent, providing guidance or discretion and discipline is a natural thing that a child desperately needs as much as a baby needs the mother's breast. And so when Solomon talks about training up a child, it's good to ask, who's the child? And so dads, listen to this. It's a reference to someone, a child who goes through the stages of life, from infancy through to launching for marriage. So it would imply the newborn, the young boy, the preteen, the teenager, and someone who is ready for marriage. You see, parenting is a lifelong calling that will stretch you in many ways. And no doubt, you need to have some fun. So hey, here are some little things that, as we head into the Father's Day weekend, can I suggest you do this? Write a note to your dad and say, Dad, here are the things I really love about you. Be specific, even if it's two or three things. That will mean the world to him, even more than going out for a dinner, as much as that's important and cool to do. Jot down some things that your dad does well and thank him for it. And if you're a father listening tonight, maybe going back to what Grant said, maybe we've heard what Natalie said or Carly as they've called in, why not begin to think about what are some of the things that you need to do differently? And I know on this Father's Day, I need to send out five notes to five special women in my life, my five daughters, just to remind them, as Grant said, that I love them and that I am proud of them. And I love them unconditionally. They need to hear that. You know, we all need to hear that. I think it was Mark Twain who said that he could go for a whole month on one word of encouragement. Personally, I could use five or six. So let me encourage you to press on. Don't give up on being a father.